Spirit, and Holy Spirit right now. So the musicians go ahead and have their seats. Man, it's good to have Brother Tim up here leading songs.
Yes.
Man, he's sorely missed when he's not up here, but I agree with Brother Daniel. We're not going to take anything less than 100% total, complete recovery.
Amen.
We believe that. So thank the Lord for his goodness to us in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to have Sister Pansy with us today. Amen. There's nothing like being with family.
Amen.
And so we really appreciate everyone being here. And so you bear with us as we're making changes around here, and sometimes we just have to work out the kinks. But I trust that it's all in a positive direction. And so we just thank the Lord for his goodness to us. You know, as Christians, we just can't really cope without the Lord.
That's right.
You know, because he is our God.
That's right.
And we got to have him.
Yes.
But you know, on the flip side of that is the world can't cope either without their gods. They have to have some sort of bottle, some sort of something they suck into their lungs or whatever. They have to have those things to get by, especially in a time of so-called pandemic, which I guess it really is. But they have to have something to get them by, you know, and because that's their God. And, you know, you feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
You know that there's enough in the Gospels to save the whole world if they would just hear it. And what can you do when they reject it?
Yeah.
You know, they just, you sit back and you see them and they just, you know, like you got neighbors and you hear them fussing and quarreling all the time. And, you know, you're not like that. You know, you don't have that in your ranks. And you're glad that you don't, but you feel sorry for them. And so we just want to keep pressing on as believers and do everything we can to touch as many lives as we can. And so praise the Lord. We want to open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15 this morning. And I want to title this Obedient Servants. And I know that we are the bride of Christ and Israel is servants, but each one of us in our own way, we are servants to the Lord. And so we want to just talk about obedient servants. 1 Samuel chapter 15, we'll begin reading at verse 10. And I know we're probably all familiar with this story, but let's see if the Lord can bring something out for us. So then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the ox which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And then Samuel said to Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said unto me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, Was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee to be king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought again Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice them, sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we just want to surrender all we are to you and realize that you are a present help in time of need. And Lord, as your people have come to the house of God this morning in your name, and we're gathered here in your name, you promised that you'd be with us, Lord, and we know you're here. And so, God, we just want to worship you in every way we can and use our voice and our ears and everything about us, Lord, just to give glory to you and allow you to use us this morning, that you would just get in the midst of your people, in your word, and that you would just speak and have things done that you would want done this morning. We commit this time in your hands. Ask, God, that you'd go to those that are missing this morning, that you bless them. And, God, put a longing in their hearts to be amongst your people when the time comes. We ask, God, that they would just be edified today as they miss. Lord, let them tune in, and may they just be edified as they hear the words of your message this morning. We ask, God, that you'd be with us now, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. So, kind of rehearse a little bit in here just to get where we're going here this morning. So, we know this was in the days of, obviously, Samuel, the prophet. And Israel had gone through a dry time. And what I mean when I say a dry time, Israel had not had a prophet for a long time. The scripture says that the word of the Lord was scarce and there was no open vision. And so Israel had gone through this dry time where God had not been speaking to them, and they had just been going along, and who knows what was taking place and what was going on in their mind. And you know, when God's not speaking and dealing with people's lives, they drift off into the world. And so, you know, you can imagine what the situation was like. And so they went through a dry time with no prophet, no word of the Lord, no open vision. And then God established his Samuel, the prophet, as being a prophet, and made it very clear. The scripture said that Samuel let none of God's words fall to the ground.
Right.
So Samuel was a very, very very good expression of the word of the Lord in his day. And so when I look at that, if you come out of a dry time and you come into a time where God definitely sends a prophet among you, and there's no question about it, and the word of the Lord is with him, kind of like our day, right? How many years did we have since there was a prophet until God raised up a prophet who was born in 1909 or 1906, wherever it was, 1909, and come through with a ministry in 1933 to 1946, 47, all the way up to 63. How many years did this church world have a dry time and drifted off into who knows what?
Yeah.
Right? So this is kind of the parallel I was kind of show you there. But God had raised up Samuel, and so it was very clear that God was with him and was speaking in the presence of the Lord there. And so God was actually king over the people. He was ruling and reigning over the people of Israel as he desired. God wanted to be their king. And what people would not want the creator of heaven and earth to be their leader and their God? We all would want that, right? And so God was definitely there and was leading them and guiding them. And it was clear because God had arranged it such and set it up that way. So when Samuel, and how I'll say this, how was God leading them, guiding them? He was doing it through a prophet,
right?
Through the word of the Lord. So you'll find out if you read the scriptures, they rejected the word of the Lord. They rejected God. And God told Samuel, he said, "Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me." But God was expressing himself like he promised to do through a prophet. And that's what he was doing there. So the scriptures tells us that when Samuel got old, that the people came to him and said to him, "Now Samuel, your sons, they don't live like you, they're not like you, and so we're wanting you to provide us a king. We want a king among us." And of course, God wanted to be their king. He wanted to lead them and guide them, be their God, and then be his people. And so, but they said, Samuel, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, Samuel, you're going to be leaving at some point. God's going to take you. And so we want a king. We want someone who can rule and reign over us and lead us and guide us after you're gone. Now, you would think that if God had taken enough measure to lead them and guide them and take care of them and take them out of this dry time and to deliver to them such a perfect word from the Lord that none of it fell to the ground, you would think that they would say, you know, God has loved us so much that he's brought us out of the denominational dry time, has delivered to us the word of the Lord, that even though Samuel the prophet is leaving, follow the parallel, even though the prophet is leaving, God will take care of us. He'll continue on because he is our God and we're his people. Right. We're his subject. He's not going to let us be. But when that's not what they did. What they do, they decided, you know what? We want a man. Mm-hmm. We want to be like the rest of the denominations or the rest of the nations. Yeah. We want to be like them. They have a great king. They have a great pastor. They have great leaders. They have a great system. And we want to be like that so that when we go out to battle, we can have a king that we can look to. We can have some great man that we can look to, and he'll be our guide, and he'll go out, and he'll fight our battles, and he'll be the one that we can look to. That's what the scripture says. We want a king. Yeah. So what do they want? They want to go from the God leading them and the word of the Lord leading them. They wanted to leave that and turn to the arm of the flesh.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they wanted to do. And so, you know, that lays in people, even in our day, that lays in people that you get scared and all of a sudden you think, oh no, you know, there's been a mighty move of God and then now it's gone. What are we going to do? We're undone. Instead of believing that the same God that you know, he did say that I am, he is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so you can have 1,000 prophets come and go and God's still with you, right? But they got all worried about it. Whatever was going through their mind, they said, we want a king anyhow. We want someone that we can look to in the flesh, that can, boy, my mind's going all kinds of directions, but we want someone we can look to that give us a sense that, oh, we're doing fine and God's with us because we see, we can look at this one. And so when you do that, when you're looking to the arm of the flesh, you're automatically diminishing the presence of God. You're rejecting the word of the Lord and his, you know, the true experience of him leading you and guiding you by his spirit and by his word and the faith that goes with that. That's what you're doing when you lean on the arm of the flesh. You're automatically going away from that. So they said, we want a king so we can be like the other nations. But you know, God said to them, he said, you're not to be among those other nations. You are separate. You're not to be like them. You are a peculiar people. You're separated from them, and you're not to be reckoned among them. If you pull up Numbers chapter 23, you'll see. And this is where Balak sent Balaam out to curse Israel. And though Balaam wanted to curse Israel, this is what he said. When he got ready to curse them, the Spirit of God comes upon him, and he says, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. God did not want Israel to be like the rest of the nations. He didn't want them to be like them. He didn't want them to mix with them. He didn't want them to mingle with them. He didn't want to try and blend with them or any way like that. God wanted to be totally separate and not even be reckoned among those nations. In other words, when you look down the great list of nations, you wouldn't find Israel on it because he's not reckoned among them in that list. Just like today, if you could look at all the churches out there, Lutherans and all the different ones, and come all the way down the list, you won't find this one there. You won't find believers like we are. You won't find them because we are not reckoned among the denominations, right? Because in order to be reckoned among them, you've got to be like them. In order for you to have fellowship with them, you've got to blend with them and be like them. Yeah. And when you're not like that, you know, birds of a feather, you know, they flock together. Right. And so different birds don't. You see what I'm saying? So there's no way that true believers, if Israel stayed true with God, there's no way that they could be out there and mix and mingle. And so God said, I don't want you to be like the rest of the nations. You're a separate people and you're not to be reckoned among them. Yep. So here's what these other nations, and you entreat me, okay? Because I'm using modern things, but to show you, here's what those other nations, here's what they were like. And so those other nations, they had three gods. They had multiple gods. You know, Israel was supposed to have, they believed in one God, right? Because there's only one true living God who's living. All the rest of them are just fake, man-made deities and things like that the devil gets into, and they might hear all kinds of things and have all kinds of revivals and everything else, but if it's not the Word, it's just a false god. So these other nations, they had multiple gods. They were okay with accepting creeds and dogmas of man and shaking their hand and putting their name on a book rather than having a true experience with God. They were okay with that kind of thing. God said, you're not to be like that. And so they were okay with watching uncensored media. Uh-huh. They just loved. You know why? Because there was something in them that hungered for those things. There was an appetite in there. You know what? I'm trying to think of something I don't like. What's something I don't like? Reuben sandwiches. I do not like Reuben sandwiches. And you know what? I don't eat them. Mm-hmm. And you know why I don't eat them? Because I don't have something in me to eat them.
Yeah.
Right? And so these other nations, they feed on uncensored media because there's something down inside them that will hunger after that, and that's why they feed on it. Because Brother Random tells us that if a dove goes to eat rotten food, dead food, if it does, it will make it sick because it doesn't have inside it what it takes to digest that.
That's right.
See? And so they're okay with that. And God said, now you're not supposed to be like this. This is the kind of things they do. They read romance novels. They have comic books. Now, you know I'm quoting the prophet.
Right.
Right? They had comic books for their kids. They have a deck of cards on the table. They stay home from church to watch I Love Susie or I Love Lucy.
Right.
Right? This is what they do. And God said, you're not supposed to be part of that. They're married 3 or 4 or 5 times and think it's okay. Still be deacons and pastors and so forth. And yet, they've been married several times when God's word says not to. The women have bobbed hair. They wear short skirts, put man's pants on. Men running around wearing women's shorts.
Right?
Right? Here's what Brother Ram said. He's wearing her underneath garments.
Yeah.
What do you think he's talking about?
Right?
Right? They're okay with doing that. Short. They wear shorts and short skirts. The women do. They wear pants. Men have long hair. Wearing women's underneath garments. They drink, they smoke, they cuss, they vape. Let me put that in there.
Yeah.
Do you know what a habit is? You know what you say, oh, he's got a bad habit. You know what? This brother right here, Brother Elijah, tell you what, he's got a bad habit. Every few seconds, he takes a breath. He's been doing that since he was born, and however old he is now, he's been doing that all his life. That's a habit. No, it's not a habit. You know why? Because it pertains to life.
Right.
So it's not a habit. This other brother right here would say, Malachi, he eats just every few hours or minutes.
Amen.
He just eats and eats, and it's all going to his feet. He just eats and eats, and oh, that's a habit. No, it's not a habit because you got to eat to live. Yeah? But what about all these things that come along, especially those things that are bad for you? And you become addicted to them. And they rob you of health. They rob you of happiness. They rob you from a peaceful home.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Those are bad. And so God's not going to institute that kind of stuff. So don't put it off on him and say, God wants me to do this kind of stuff, watch uncensored stuff and do those things. So he doesn't, see? But these nations, they were okay with that. They would smoke, drink, vape. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, there's curse words, and then there's these other words that people use, and you know that it's just a milder version of the bad one.
That's right.
It's still a curse word.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? Because it's the spirit behind it.
Right.
Right? And so it's still a curse word. And people do those things. So they, and so they might not smoke. I don't smoke, I think. Uh-huh. It's the same devil.
That's right.
It's still a habit. It's ungodly. And it's not been told yet. It's not been uncovered yet. The death behind that. But it'll come. And you know why? Because it's not in God's program.
That's right.
Right? Just like hybrid stuff. It'll come, and it's we know it, see? I listen to Brother Ram talking about these things, and then I look out here and I say, look at all this. Everything they're declaring out here. He told us about it right back then. And so they do those things. These other nations, they like to listen to rock and roll and call it gospel. They listen to those things. Tell dirty jokes, go to dances, hug and kiss and slop around with each other without being married.
Right.
That's the kinds of things that these other, and God said, you are not to be reckoned among them. You're not to live like them. You're not to be like them. You're a holy people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Right. That's who you're to be.
Yeah.
Not to mix and mingle with the rest of them.
Right.
See? And so, this is, I look at this from the standpoint, they had went from a dry time, and God had delivered Samuel, the prophet, to them, his words, and none of them fell to the ground. So you know that Israel had been corrected, they've been brought back in line, they've been brought to the things that they should be following underneath that prophet, and yet, that when his time to go, they come along and they said, oh, we got to do something here. And if you can look at this, this is what denominations do. When God will do a mighty move and a mighty work, and then after that one begins to leave, they go, oh, we got to do something to preserve what we have. We got to make a name for ourselves. We got to build a city after our names like you find back in Genesis. We got to do something to establish it. Instead of saying, you know what, God has called us and he'll keep us. We got to establish something, and so you put up, make a big denominational, man-made something, and this is who we are. Right? That's what happens. It can happen to us, too, if we're not careful. And so, he had established these things, and Israel wanted a king. Anyway, they wanted to lean on the arm of the flesh anyway. They were to be one nation out of many. Do you remember, I've said this many times, but you know, out of all the earth, of all the nations, you know, God wanted to come down and he wanted to save man. And in order for him to save man, he was going to have to come down and be a Messiah. So he had to pick out a people that he could deliver to them the oracles of God. He could deliver to them all the Old Testament types of worship and everything. And everything that was going to be a type of Christ, he had to pick out a people that was going to be this and live these things. And he was going to follow that and bring them people. And out of that people, he would bring the Messiah to save both Jew and Gentile. Right? So God had to do that. So out of all the nations of the world, God had to pick somebody. And it just so happened he picked Abraham. He could have picked Joe down the street. I always use him as an example. He could have picked Joe down the street. Joe could have been an Abraham. Joe could have been a Canaanite. And if God would have picked Joe the Canaanite and said, I'm going to make a nation out of you and so forth, and Messiah come through your seed, he could have done it. But it just so happened he picked Abraham and it became the Jewish race, and that's how it came. Right? And so we know that. And so he said, you're to be a people by yourself, not among the nations. You're not to be like them. And they said, we want a king anyway. And so, what were they doing? We want a king anyway. They were rejecting the word of the Lord. That's what they were doing. They were rejecting the word of the Lord. They said, give us a king anyway. So God gave them a king. He gave them a king that was going to be to their liking. The scripture said that Saul, the one that God gave him, Saul was head and shoulders above all the rest of the people. Now they wanted somebody they could see go out to battle for them. We want somebody big. We want somebody that stands out. Somebody that you look at him and you know he's refined and he's got all, he knows exactly how to say, oh man. He's got the PhD, the LLD. He's got all the credentials. He's got all that, and the Bible doesn't say nothing about a man having that, right? But they want somebody that sticks out. I mean, he's got the goods. Now, everybody else don't, but he's got it, and that's who we're putting our confidence in, and he's going to get us through. He's going to win our battles for us. He's going to tell us what to believe, and that's what we're going to believe. That's what denominations did. That's right. That's what some people in this message do. Right? He was head and shoulders, and this is what they wanted. They wanted some, to lean on the arm of the flesh. They wanted somebody that's going to look really good. And we know that God can put his hand on somebody's life, and he can lead the people through it, but it's God doing it. But this is Satan's version of it. And so he gave them a king to their liking, head and shoulders above the rest. But God told Samuel, he said, now Samuel, go ahead and give him that king. But I want you to solemnly protest against it. Make sure they understand this is wrong. Make sure they understand it's wrong to do those things those nations did. It's wrong to try and set up somebody in your midst that can lead you the same way they are led. Follow me? It's wrong. You make sure they understand, because I want them to know, because the scripture goes on to say, and we'll read it in just a moment, that it's not going to turn good for them. And I want them to know, I told you so. It's kind of a parent's prerogative. Sometimes you just want to say, I told you so. As a matter of fact, I did that a couple of days ago. I told you so. You don't want to be arrogant, but sometimes when you tell your kids and they won't listen to you, and then they get snake bit because they didn't listen, I told you so. Next time, maybe you might listen, right? That's what God said. Solemnly protest and make sure they understand, okay, you can have what you want, but let me tell you what you're going to get. Now, if she'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 8, we'll read what kind of king they were going to get. Now, here's the thing I want you to remember as we read this. I've been telling you in the last few services that I've been ministering, you know, the test. Where you have been given the choice to say, I will, I want, what I want. And we find out that it's not good for us to go with what we want. We must always find out what God's will is and say no to ourselves. And any time that we want what we want, God will give it to you because he said he would. He said he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so if you young man want some beauty queen, yeah, you'll get you one. But I guarantee it'll cost you. That's right. Same way with the young ladies. You want a big hunk that's all on the outside, nice and handsome and muscular and so forth, but has no character in his heart, and you're not looking at the things that that God tells you to look at? You'll get it, and it'll be a problem for you, because that's the way it works. We must always ask God, what is your will for my life? Listen, I didn't have God in my mind whenever I met my wife. And by the grace of God, he took full care of the situation, right? And her with me, right? But you know what? It's still good teaching to tell you that you need to look to God, and you need to pray and seek God for who your mate's going to be. You should do that. The rest of the world doesn't do that. They just change mates like they change a pair of socks. And trusting that most people do change their socks every day, because there's probably some who don't. That may not be the best parallel, but, you know, well, in their mind, probably after they've been with somebody they didn't seek God for, that person begins to stink like a sock would, you know. But if you listen to God and you do what he says do, you're not going to have those disappointments. So keep in mind, As we read this, they said, we want a king. Anyhow, and so here's what they get. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly to them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Now you know a king, we call our governors and our presidents and our senators and congressmen, we call them public servants. But I hadn't seen a public servant in quite some time. Let me put it this way. One who will sacrifice. Now I take that back, because I know there are some men who do sacrifice greatly because of the stand that they take, okay? But you understand what I'm getting at. For the most part, the leaders, they're not sacrificing nothing. It's the people that are going to sacrifice. They're going to set themselves up really nice with plenty of future blessings at the cost of the people. That's what they do. And they've hit it, but now it's all coming more clear now. Everybody's being realized, we've been sold out. That's what you get when God's not in front of you, if he's not the one you're seeking. And so the king is supposed to be a servant to the people. And yet he's in authority, but everything about that king should be for the benefit of the people, right? That's what, well, I mean, what good does it do to have a king if all he's going to do is abuse you? That king is there to be in a position of power and influence that he can negotiate and he can set up things and he can watch over things so that he makes sure that you got an army that can protect you, or he makes sure that he makes a good deal with some other nation so that your trade and everything with that other nation keeps you employed and keeps your children fed, and that's the way it's supposed to be, right? But you'll have a lot of politicians don't do that. They don't care about you. They're looking for a way to make a deal for themselves while you go down the tube. Well, see? Now look here. This is Bible we're talking about. You look, you'll see the same thing happening today, because God's the same God and the devil's the same devil. Right? So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. And remember, this king's supposed to be a servant to them. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and his instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And they will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give them give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take a tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, and that the kings, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all these words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. So he sat right there and told them what they're going to get. And they said, we want it anyway. And you think, what was the matter with them people? It seemed like, how stupid, how silly of them, when he told them what was going to happen and what kind of king. This king was not going to be about them. He's going to be about himself. He's going to make everything good for himself. And the part that he does do was going to support all the men underneath him that do support him. He's going to take from the people and make sure they're well fed because they support him. Politics. See? And this is what And they did it anyway. They wanted it anyway. And you say, what was the matter with them people? But then you look out and you see people now, and you know, they've been told. They've been told, this is what's going to happen if you do this and if you do this. The message has been very clear to us on how to live. We finally have an age where all these things that was all questioned have been corrected. And there's no sense in us drifting off into nonsense. We've got the Samuel of our day telling us how to live. But yet people go off anyway. We want it anyway. We want it anyway. And it ain't be anything but bad. It'll always go to our endeavor if we choose our will over God's will. And so, said, you're going to be his servants. And this is what happens. When we choose something of our own will, our own way, we may think it's harmless, and probably maybe they did. Maybe they just didn't understand. But here's the thing. When you choose something above God's will, that something is going to be king over you and rule over you, and you're going to be its servant. You may think you can handle it, but it becomes more. That's why we say sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you there longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you want to pay. Because if you choose that, that's what's going to happen. And it will do that to you. It'll be your servant. You'll be its servant. So we find out that they chose Saul, and so God gave them Saul. And we read here in the scriptures we read a little while ago that Saul just absolutely would not obey all of the word of the Lord. God would tell him to do something, and he'd get scared or get concerned, and instead of waiting and doing what God said, he'd run over and start making a sacrifice. Right? And you find out in the scripture we read, he was in a situation there, and he got the same way, and he makes a sacrifice. And in this scripture, what we read was, he went out and God told him, said, go out there and destroy all the Amalekites, king and all, don't bring nothing back. What does he do? He goes out there, and the scripture says that everything that was goodly, they accepted, but everything that wasn't, they destroyed. We didn't read it, but it's in there. And he kept the king, right? And so, and they kept a bunch of the animals. And they're thinking, oh, you know, well, and I'm paraphrasing, okay? Well, I know that God said to destroy all, but look at these beautiful animals. I mean, there's no blemishes, and man, these would be great to sacrifice unto the Lord. He would just love these. And they trampled over the word of the Lord that they might have something they could sacrifice to the Lord, and brought all that back. And so when Samuel comes up there, and Saul says, I did what I was supposed to do. And Samuel says, well, what's all this noise I hear back here of these animals bleeding and the ox lowing? Well, and he starts making excuses. Well, but the people, did you catch that? The people, they're the ones that did it. I thought he was a servant. I thought he was a leader. I thought he was a guy, a king. Oh, but the people, they're the ones that took of the oxen and all. And they wanted the sacrifice to the Lord. And so, you know, the scripture said, and we read it there, it wasn't like Saul just simply wasn't serving God no more. And our, you know, we look at it and say, well, he's still fighting battles. I mean, he's still, yeah, he didn't do everything, but he's still king of Israel. But you know what God said? God said he has left off following after me.
Right. That's right.
So you can halfway be a Christian. You can halfway serve God and leave off some of things God says, and God looks at it and says, they've left serving me. They've left off following me.
Right.
It is that critical. How many times did Brother Ram say every word? Right. See, if one word's all it took to make the fall, it's going to take every word to get back. And so it is that critical. And God says, he's left off following me. And because of this, I have rejected him from being king. Now we know that Saul was not lost. It pays to be a student of the message, to understand that God has sent a prophet to put these things in order so we understand this stuff. He wasn't lost, but he was rejected from being king. Right? And so we'll build upon that as we go on. And so He would not obey all of God's word, and instead of obeying everything and doing everything that the word of the Lord had provided through this mighty prophet, right? We've had a mighty prophet. Instead of doing everything that that mighty prophet said do, he only did some of it, and then the rest of it, because he didn't do it all, it cost him. But instead of obeying, he would resort to sacrifices. And they're like, well, we won't do everything he said, but we'll bring back all these, and we'll just sacrifice, and it'll appease the Lord. And you know, God did have a way for people to be their atonement, you know. He did have a way, and it was to make a sacrifice at that time. There were different sacrifices for different things. But it was true that in that day, God's provided way in that day to cover sin and trespasses and all those things, that there were different sacrifices. We'll just do a sacrifice and it'll cover for that. But you find out this didn't work for Saul, right? Because instead of obeying, Saul just said, well, I'll just make another sacrifice. Follow me? And here's the famous words that we all know that he asked. Which is better, to obey or to sacrifice? And you'll find out there that in that God said it is better to be obedient than to sacrifice. And actually he went in there and started saying that stubbornness was as an iniquity and idolatry and so forth. And so whenever you resist God and when you won't follow his word and carry everything out, there's something in you that's causing you not to follow it.
That's right.
And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Right? Is somebody going to be there? Is somebody going to rapture with lust in their heart? Is God going to come along and while you're looking at something on your computer or your phone you shouldn't be looking at, is he going to walk up and go, come on, it's time for rapture? Then probably you shouldn't do that anytime, not just rapture morning. You follow me? So the issue is what's in us that makes us want things that's not right. And even Christians, they still got flesh nature, and you can cater that and it will cost you. But we've got to be led by the Holy Spirit and have a genuine new birth down inside us. And that will tell you you shouldn't be doing these things. You shouldn't be living like the other nation. You shouldn't have these habits in your life. Right? And that's what you follow, and you put these other things out. And so God had done these things with Samuel, provided these things, and Saul wouldn't obey. He just wanted to go back, and even though it was God's provided way, he was going to resort to sacrifice. And this is kind of, and I'll say it like this. Well, I'm a Christian, and I can't do this part, and so I'll just let the blood of Jesus Christ cover for me. I'll just let that sacrifice. And here's the thing, when you compromise, when you are disobedient, there will have to be a sacrifice. You see? There will have to be a sacrifice, and partly your life will be sacrificed. You'll have troubles, but it will affect other people too. It'll affect your children or your friends or whatever. When you compromise the Word of God, it's going to affect you. And typically, when you compromise, somebody else has to pay the price. Somebody else has to step up and pick up where you don't do what you're supposed to do. So that's what happened. Man fell. And God had to step up with sacrificing Jesus Christ to cover for our failure. But it happens like this every day. You don't take the trash out, somebody else is going to have to do it.
Right?
And if you don't pray and you don't seek God, it's going to do things and somebody else is going to have to help you out because you weren't obedient.
Right.
Follow me?
That's right.
This is daily life what we're talking about. Compromise. And this is the kind of things that we have to deal with, because when we compromise, it's going to cost.
Right.
Brother Ram said, if you sin, you'll pay for it.
Yep.
But it's not just you that pays for it. It's somebody else too. Right? And so, it's just a fact of life, the way it's all worked out. You reap what you sow. And so he wouldn't obey. He just wanted to go back to sacrifice. And that's what people do. I mean, if you look at them, what are they doing? What are they doing when they're like, well, I can't do this, but I'm still a Christian. Then you're just letting the blood of, you're just like Saul. You're like, well, I'll just do another sacrifice. I'll just let that be the thing. And you know what? The blood does atone for you. Right? The blood does atone for you. But God wants obedience.
That's right.
Not necessarily obedience to save you so much, but obedience because without obedience, you cannot advance into greater things in God.
That's right.
Right? You cannot advance if you won't obey. And so, how can God build anything off of disobedience? Could God have written a Bible off of the life of Saul? So Saul was a compromise. You look at it and you notice that anybody that puts food to their mouth, they're going to die. And then his own son did it. And then he let it go. He was so influenced by the people. Rather than being a leader, they influenced him. So instead of preaching the gospel when they didn't like it, and they come and say, then he'd go, oh, I'm sorry, I won't say that again. That's not a leader. A leader's going to tell you the truth, whether it takes a hide off of his back or whatever. He's going to tell you. He's going to do what's right, and he'll give himself for the people, right? And a lot of times when they don't even recognize it or don't even appreciate it, he doesn't, see? I appreciate what a man is trying to do for this country, but most of them don't appreciate it. They don't care. Too busy. Too busy with the other things like the other nations do. But God could not have written a Bible. And when I say that is because we know that when he rejected Saul from being king, he picked David. And David was a man after God's own heart. And I've often pondered on that, what that means. What does it mean to be a man after God's own heart? And I can tell you what it means to me is that though David made many mistakes, severe mistakes, David had a heart like God's heart. And he would repent, and he would always make it right, and he always got, he kept going with God's program, and he didn't do like Saul. Right? Saul would make excuses. Well, the people, you know, but not David. David's like, I'm the one that did this. And the scripture said, when David numbered Israel, the scripture said God had a bone to pick with Israel. And so David, Satan moved upon him, and God allowed it, and then because when David numbered him, and now God says, now you, David, you've done what you're not supposed to do, and so now the nation's going to suffer because of it, and you see what I'm saying? And so David said, when that happened and that plague took off, David said, I'm the one that sinned, but what are these sheep? Why are they suffering, God? It was me. And you see, so David didn't say, oh, it's their fault, God, you get them, you know, it's their fault. That's what Saul did. Saul said, well, the people are ones that took all these animals and that should have been slain. Right? You follow me? He threw them under the bus. It's a phrase we use. But David didn't. David said, it's me. I'm the one. Right? And yet the scripture said it was the people. So there's an example of a man to give himself for the people. Right? And so God's program is so wonderful. But you couldn't write a Bible on Saul's life, a compromiser. Oh, listen to the people. Because if you would have written a Bible like that, and it would have been, if Saul's life would have been types and shadows of things to come, then our scripture would say, you get up and preach, and when the people begin to question you, you back down. Follow me? Right? If that's the way it was, then the scriptures say now, it's okay to not follow the word of the Lord if you feel like you're afraid and you're scared because the armies or the battle's too great. You can compromise on it. You can resort to the blood of Jesus Christ and never press on to be obedient in all things. That's what he would have had to have said. God could not write a Bible, types and shadows of Jesus Christ off of Saul's life, but he could David's. And yet David was a man that made many mistakes. See what I'm saying?
Right.
We just got to get in sync with the move of God and the grace of God and let Him propel this thing on. And though we have many mistakes, as long as we obey and follow Him the best we can, then He'll get you there.
Amen.
Amen. So how far can God take us if we're disobedient? Right? We all want a move of God in the church. Right? I do. I've been praying all week. God, do it. I want you to do something. I want to, but we all want, and we want to see great things, and we want to see a move of God, and we want to see growth in our own life. But are you obeying? We're all familiar with the story Brother Ram told about, I've illustrated it many times, and maybe Brother Daniel has too, about the man that met Brother Branham after church one night and disagreed with Brother Branham. Said, I disagree. I won't believe something I can't see. And Brother Branham said, well, you got a right to disbelieve. Have you ever seen God? No. Well, and the man said, why don't you come go home and we talk about it? Brother Branham said, I can't, but where do you live? He said, well, I live over the mountain. Brother Branham said, well, how are you going to get there? Well, there's a path. He said, well, you can't see that path. He said, well, I got this lantern. And he said, the lantern will show me. And Brother Branham said, well, that lantern don't show the light on the house. It only shows a light on the pathway just a few feet out. And so, and we understand the concept that God will show you things in your life that He wants you to come to.
Yeah.
Maturity levels He wants you to come to. He'll show you those things. And it's light. He shows you steps that you can take, but only a few steps. Only as far as that light shines. And we live in a dark hour. And in order for you to see more, you've got to step. You have to walk into what He has shown you. And until we do that, we can never travel down the pathway. We can never get closer to home. We can never grow in God as long as we're not obedient to the things that we have been. And so, you know, we talk about break the cycle of this and break the cycle of that and break the chains of this and break the chains of that. And you're your worst enemy. Your success, and I'm going to say this because you know Brother Daniel and I both preach to you everything that we don't compromise. We tell you everything that God, but I'll say this anyway. Your success, your advancement has little to do with who's standing behind the pulpit preaching to you. We could bring big name preachers in. Brother Branham could stand here and preach to you, and you could not advance very far in God if you are not willing to step into what
That's
He shows
right.
you.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? You want a revival in your life? Start stepping.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? You want things to be better in your life? Stop doing the things that this prophet told us not to do.
Amen.
Right? What are you feeding on? What do you spend your time doing?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And I've talked about this before, inertia. Inertia is the thing that makes your car want to stay when you want to go, and you got to put horsepower in it to make it go, and then it's the thing that makes it want to keep going when you want it to stop and you have to put the brake in. It's inertia. It's the idea that whatever the state is, it wants to stay doing that.
That's right.
And if you're a sinner, there's inertia that says, stay a sinner, and you have to put forth some effort to get out of that and get moving with God.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And so if you want to grow in God, you've got to apply pressure to push. And once you get moving, you'll be able to serve God easier than it was when you started.
Right.
But you've got to start walking.
Amen.
You've got to start saying no to these things that you know are a hindrance to your walk and start walking in obedience. Because being obedient is required to be king. Being obedient is required to be in that kingly position. And this was the thing that Saul could not do. Saul, it wasn't that he made mistakes, it's that he would not humble to God's program, repent, and keep right on with God. He made excuses. Follow me? You know what? I've said this many times. You know, you'll have people like, well, I couldn't serve God in Laodicea because I was abused as a child. And all he's got to do is turn to somebody who was an overcomer in Laodicea and said, "Were you? Here's an overcomer. Were you abused?" "Yes, I was abused." So your excuse don't matter, see? All things are possible to them that believe it. And so what people do to you is not controlling your outcome.
Right.
You follow me? You control your outcome on whether you walk with God's plan or not. Men who are in prison, who have Christ, are free. People who are not in jail and can walk and go do what they want without Christ are prisoners. There are people in prisons that were prisoners of war in different cases, and they served God in those conditions while they were on the racks being tortured.
Yeah.
And they still served God because they were free.
Right.
So what your neighbor does to you, I got a neighbor that's giving me a little bit of troubles. It had nothing to do with him, my success in God. My success in God is how much will I walk in what he shows me,
yeah,
in his truth. Taking what the great prophet has delivered and letting that be my king, let that be the one that rules and reigns over me. So God can't take you very far if you don't let the, you know, walk in what the letter shows you. Let's read Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Almost done. We're very familiar with this. This is the end of the discourse to the Laodicean age. They no more ages for Gentiles after this. This is when he gets the bride. This is when he's getting the bride for her to come and sit on his throne with him in rulership with him. And let me tell you that back in the, before the fall, Adam and Eve were co-equal. Right? The fall made it different. And he's restored Eden, and God's going to take this bride and put her right there beside him, and she's going to be equal with him. So that's why it says this. To the overcomers of this age, he will grant that they can sit with him in his throne, even as he has sat down in his Father's throne. You know when Jesus left, he went and sat on the throne, right? He's in all power in heaven and earth given to me. Got more power than the Father. Why? Because all power in heaven and earth given to him, right? Because he was all lying to him. But he's coming back, and he's going to sit on his throne. And he's going to call for his bride to come and sit with him on his side. That's okay, sister. He's going to bring that bride. He's going to grant to her, and he's going to make it possible. If you'll overcome Laodicea, and that's the age we're in, if you'll overcome Laodicea, I'm going to grant to you to sit right here with me, equal with me in my throne, and rule the nations. Right? But I just told you what is required to be in a kingly position, and that's obedience. And that's the difference between the bride of Christ and all the rest of the churches. That's why she goes in a rapture and sits with him on his throne. But all the denominations who only take some of the word, but they don't take all of it, and they make excuses for the part they don't take. They're souls. Some of it, they may not be lost if they're a foolish virgin. We understand that. May not be. But they can't go in a rapture. They can't sit in the throne because it takes obedience to the word of God to be a king. That's right. Now look at your politicians. How obedient are they to the things that are right? Can't be king. Can't be a good ruler. Will abuse their power. Will disappoint you. See? There's only one who's not going to do that. That's the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will not disappoint you. Amen? And so, it takes obedience to all the word of the Lord to go in a rapture. Right?
Right.
Didn't say you can't make mistakes, but you got to stay humble and repent and fall after God and don't make excuses for his word.
Right?
And always say, it was me. I chose to follow after that. I chose to go after this lady that wasn't a believer. I chose to go to this job that took me out of church. I chose that. It's me, Lord. My mistake. It's not that person's fault or that person's fault. It's me. I'm the one, Lord. I was supposed to stay humble and look to you and let you lead me and guide me. And I said no. And it's my fault. Lord, forgive me. But God will pick you up and you may have to ride in what you've done for a while. He'll make it work out.
That's right.
He'll fix it. Sometimes you might take years, but he'll fix it. He'll heal your bodies. He'll do the things he said he would do. We just got to stay with him.
Amen.
Got to stay with him. Amen. So to sit with him on his throne, you got to have obedience. That's a requirement. Be an obedient servant to the Lord. Not just in name, but in action. Right? We cannot be reckoned among the nations. We cannot be reckoned among the denominations. Not in name, we won't be on that list, and neither will we in our actions. We can't act out the things they do. We can't compromise with the word like they do. That's what makes us different. You know what makes God different than all the other gods? Because he's real. He's powerful. He's got the goods. And any people who worship him as beneficiaries from him, they're going to be a people much different than all the rest who worship false gods. You see what I'm saying? So it only stands to reason that among the true bride of Christ, there should be casting out devils, you know, raising the dead, healing the sick, the whole, everything that he promised should be among his people. If there's nobody in the world that can get healed anymore by the presence of God's healing outside, it should be the bride who does. Right? Because she's the one that he's coming for. She's the one he's interested in. And so we can't be reckoned among the rest of them. We have no business trying to be like the rest of them.
Right?
Right? They might compromise and have rock and roll in their churches. We're not. Right? I have no doubt that we could make just a few minor changes in the way we do things right here, and in just a few weeks we could fill the place up.
Right.
I know that. And so do you. But we're not doing that. And so if something inside you is all tore up because we don't have great numbers among us, like, well, think about it. What do you got to do to get it? We're not to be reckoning among. We'll be what God wants us to be. He'll add to our numbers, but the numbers he adds will be quality of what we are.
Right.
To believe and say amen to the word. We're not to be like them, to be numbered among them in name and not in actions. Definitely. Not to be partakers. So what's the difference? We listen to our prophet that God has sent, and he straightened these things out, and this is how we're going to operate our lives. Amen. We're not going to be like the rest of the world. You find out there that the Saul got afraid. And I mentioned a while ago, he got afraid, and so he compromised. He began to sacrifice. Instead of staying pat with the word of the Lord, he got afraid. We can't do that. The armor of God is all, there's nothing behind. He don't want you running. Everything covers the front because you're going to meet the enemy head on. If you turn like that, now you're uncovered, the enemy's going to get you. God means for you to go forward and not back. And whenever the battle gets tough, like Brother Daniel said this morning, we're not going to bow down to some devil. Right? We're not going to do it. And it's there to try and make you fear. The whole world's operating on fear right now. We're not afraid. I'm not saying it's not real, it's the sickness and stuff. I'm just saying we're not going to operate in fear. I don't sit there and tremble at night. You know, Satan try to put it on you.
Right.
Oh, I got to go to work tomorrow. I hope that I don't get this coronavirus. No, I don't do that. I don't worry about that. Right? We can't get it if God doesn't allow it.
Right?
That's right. God is in control of everything. This whole earth is going down like he said it would because of what they've done. He's in control. Nothing's going to get past him. There's nothing to be afraid of if you know you belong to him. And even with your mistakes, if you know the desire of your heart is, I want to be totally compliant with everything God has for us today. If in your heart you say amen to that word, even when you know you can't produce it all, you know it's right, and you're saying, God, make that work out of me. Bring me to that. Make me overcomer. I want to be over. Thank you for making me overcomer. And you'll see him start getting rid of those things that's plagued you for many, many years. He will do that, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, whatever. God will set you free of everything that's not part of his plan. But you got to stay pat and don't be afraid. Because fear, even science will tell you, fearful and worrying and all that, it'll set stuff up in you that just because. Right? So he was afraid and compromised, but we can't do that. We can't fear the people whenever we're different and they say, you ought to cut your hair. You ought to do this. Why do you do this? Why? Don't be afraid of that. Don't even bother with it. That's that squirrel chatter, 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 brother Ben talked about.
That's right.
Don't even listen to that. Don't give it a second thought. Don't listen to those things. Don't be afraid of the people because they're different, because they're other nations, because they mass against you, because they pit people against you at the workplace just to make it harder for you, whatever it is. Don't be afraid of them. God knows that, and he'll deal with it. And I've seen him deal with it. I've seen him deal with things mightily. When he moves, and he ain't nobody can stop when he moves something. And it may look like, when will I ever get out from underneath this tyrant? But God can move, and he'll make it different. You just got to believe that. be still and know that he's God. So we can't compromise because of it. The battle is so strong and great, and the people are in opposition to you, and all the, you know, no, we're a separate people. We're not supposed to be part of them. We're supposed to be separated from the rest of the world. And if they want to make fun of you, if their entertainment on a daily basis is to step back and make fun of you, then let them have a good time, because this is all they're going to know. But you walk in the integrity of your heart to the Word of God, and you'll come out on top.
That's right.
And we're getting closer and closer and closer. And the fruits of these things are manifesting, and the squeeze is coming more and more. And these now position. But that means we should be growing greater and greater in the confidence of who she is. So that just like in that story, Brother Bram says, she's standing there with them flowers waiting, and everybody making fun of her.
Yeah.
And right at the last minute, you could hear the chariot coming and the sand turning under the wheels. Coming to get the one that the whole world thought wouldn't have a chance of being his bride. And that's the way it is. Amen. That's exactly the way it is. He's coming for us, saints. You can't compromise. You've got to stay with it. What are we doing with our time? Why do we let these things steal from us? You got stuff in your life that you know you're not. Why are you doing it? We have the greatest message ever struck the earth, and you're peeling it away and wasting your time chasing after things that you know you shouldn't be? What are we doing? Because when that door shuts, it's shut, and no man can open it. See? He's coming for us. Stay with his word. Stay with it. Stay true to it. No matter what it is, and you'll come out on top. Be obedient servants to the Lord. Amen. And you get to sit on the throne in rulership. And you know what? Death doesn't change you. So if you're going to be able to rule and reign there, you're going to learn to do it here. So what am I saying? We should have victories, growing victories, greater victories in our life, right here, right now, not wait to rapture morning and expect. You know, the scripture says, bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit you some. Didn't say it, but said profit a little. But you know what? To be, you can't just lay around and be lazy for weeks on end and then all of a sudden jump up and take off and think you're going to run a marathon. You're not going to do it.
No.
You need to exercise yourself unto godliness,
right,
and be ready and know how to pray the prayer of the faith, know how to seek God, know how to rebuke the enemy. Know how do you, why do you? Because you've done it. You've been practicing. You've been working at it. See what I'm saying? Do those things. I think in Sister Pendleton telling us so many different stories of things that she's had and the way she prayed and God had moved. And she's telling us the other day about the skunks. She kept getting skunks. They kept coming there. I don't know what, 17, 18, how many was it?
There was nine.
Nine, so nine's different skunks. And she prayed and said, God, she said, I know those things are probably here for a reason, but do they all have to come here? Right? And she prayed, and you know what? No more. She watched a couple of them come down the street. They stopped, turned around, went back. Exercise. Exercise your faith. Talk to God. Exercise and build up your faith muscles and be ready for these things. It's not a time for kiddies. It's a time to be strong in faith, believing God for everything, because you're his people. There's nobody else in a bigger, greater position than you. The bride of Christ is in the best position anybody could be in.
Right?
Right? Brother Branham said, that he will not put her in tribulation. She's already found favor in his sight. He's not going to throw you into nothing except into a rapture. But you got to stay with him. You can't reject him. You can't say, I love you, honey, but I don't like your ears. Your ears are too big. I say that because I have big ears. You can't do that. You got to accept all of it. Amen. And don't be afraid of the battle. Don't be afraid of the people. When things rise up like Sister Vicky and Brother Richard and the different things that has risen up in, among our people, and it's like a righteous indignation. You vile devil, what makes you think that you can attack God's people? How many feel that when that happens? That's right. You know what? I believe the bride of Christ is in a position where she, if there's anybody on earth could exercise righteous indignation toward the devil, it would be her. You understand what I'm saying? To go and fight battle against the enemy and those things. Amen. And so we want to be strong in faith, be courageous, and not be fearful. And fight. Fight the devil. It ain't going to be easy. Not one day of your life is going to be easy. But you fight. And you stay with that word. Keep that testimony. Hold that confession of faith in agreement to the word of God, and God will make your body line up. Listen, I said a while ago, when a man is in prison, but he's got Christ in there, he's free. And you can have enemies all around you, and God will set before you a table in the presence you're in. He will feed you. They might have you totally hemmed up. As I've said, in battle, they'll cut off the supply line. That's what all these embargoes or whatever they call it, these sanctions. They put sanctions on a nation that's misbehaving. What do? They starve them out until they get so weak, until they behave themselves. Same thing. You're in fight, and your enemy tries to surround you, and he wants to cut off the supply line and make it to where you can't get food, you can't get water, you can't get ammunition, and you're sitting there, and he's got you surrounded, and all he's got to do is wait until you starve out. He's got you. But not with God's people, because God says, I'm going to make a prepared table for you right in the presence of your enemies. Enemy's going to go, how'd that get in there? General over their army's going to say, who put that food in there to them people? How? Somebody dropped the ball and let somebody through. They got food out there. See? And all it was God provided. And you got to believe that. No matter what comes your way, you believe that God will provide for you everything he promised, no matter what it is. I don't care what it is. You believe it anyhow. And if that means that you have to fight another day, then you fight. And another day, you fight. And another day, you fight. You just keep pushing on, pressing on. And our time will come. Amen. God bless you. Let's let the musicians come. Amen. We don't want to be like the rest. Scripture says, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. That means he had to be different than the rest. That was something that could draw people. I witnessing Brother Daniel's testimony among his family. And you can tell they all have a great respect and a great love for him, for his testimony. And one of the brothers that I know, one of many, but he is one who stands as firm as you can witness in gospel, in truth. Right? And that's what they see. They see the same thing we do, because I know he's not a hypocrite. They see the same things that you and I see in Brother Daniel. And they all love him, and they respect him. You got to live in such a way, even though they won't come to his church, they won't come to the belief that he has, but they all respect that, and there's something coming for them down the road because of that. But if he didn't live that way, what could they come to? We have to live in such a way, though they would criticize us and make fun of us. Brother Bram said one time, said, they don't really mean that. And they don't. They're under an influence. You get them away from all the devils, and they look at that and say, that's God. But he said, they don't really mean that. And if you don't live in such a way that people can come to that, even though they criticize you and make fun of you, if you don't live in such a way that they have something they can come to, then what is it? Amen? We want to live a life of Jesus Christ, which is a life lifted up. Amen? Though it be a sacrifice. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together with your people. Lord, we're asking, God, that you just take these words that have been given. And Lord, may they be an inspiration for your people that in the hour of battle they can draw upon these things. And God, know that you're looking for faithful servants, that no matter what happens, they'll stay true to your word. And not get afraid, not pull back, not compromise, not just look for some sacrificial thing to cover the mistakes, but to long for perfection and long for a place where we can stand in you in full obedience. God, your prophet said that if there's a deep calling to the deep, there's one to respond. And we have that cry in our hearts, Lord, that every aspect of our life will be totally surrendered to you. That means it's there, Lord. And so we are asking, God, that you just help hasten us further down life's road and help us to walk into the things that you do show us, that you might reveal greater things to us. We're asking, God, that you bless every heart. Go to our young people now, because I know they're in a struggle. As Brother Daniel and I were talking earlier, it's just they're in a worse struggle than I had. But I'm asking, God, that you meet them on their level. Whatever they're going through, you said you'd be a comforter. You said you'd be there and you'd guide. And so I'm asking God that you come down and on their level, you be their God and let them be your people. And do that for the rest of us, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Preconceived ideas of what it is to be holy or what it is to be a person of God or whatever. And you know, I don't know about you, but for me it's like, oh, and maybe it was the influence I seen in Pentecost, I don't know, but you know, you have this idea that if you're not, you know, if you're not just praying a certain way, then you're not really praying. But you know, he was a man. And we're but flesh. The scripture says he knows our frame. We're just flesh. And you don't have to have some certain way. I mean, those times are fine. If you pray that way, that's fine. But just pray. You might just talk to him. Listen, Brother Graham said, "Dear sir," write a piece of note, stick it against a tree. He knows you can't. He knows everything, and he's going to hear you and understand you. If you've got a repentant heart, he listens. And you don't have to do anything any special way. And I don't think that we're going to have to get up and, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, and the rapture's about to happen. I don't think it's going to be that way. It's just when that time comes, he's going to change it. You don't have to do anything except just love him and try to live for him all your life. Just do that and let him take care of the rest. There's the world wants a sure thing. This is a sure thing right there. That's the only sure thing there is. God bless you. We'll sing this again as you dismiss.